Your guide to Merseyside sport. The kickoff.
Radio City Talk.
Let's have a look at Fan Friday with Jay and Mickey.
Morning to you, Mickey.
Morning, Steve.
Thank you for your company. Let's talk transfers and transfer deadline day. Let's take the positives first out of the transfer window. Would you give it a fairly high mark out of 10 if you're going to judge the business that's been done over the whole course of the window?
Are we talking... Sorry, mate. I didn't realise you were talking to me then, pal. Sorry.
Yeah.
Yes, mate, I would. I would, defo. I think we've done okay. I think the players that we've brought in better than, you know, certainly what we've had. We've got rid of some deadwood. You know, we could have done with a striker. There's no doubt about it. Mm. We could have done with a target man. It didn't happen. I think we're struggling a little bit as well on the left. If anything happens to Leighton Baines, you know, I think we're in a little bit of trouble there. But on the whole, I think it's been a successful window, yeah, defo.
You're not one of those Evertonians that's really down in the dumps wondering where the goals are coming from then?
No, I mean, we've got a lot of players there. If you look at the players that have been brought in, the likes of Rooney, Klassen, you know, Sigginson, they've all got goals in them. It's just the style of play, I think, that Ronald Koeman likes. And normally, you know, he does like a target man. We do, we needed a focal point. But I'm not going to be too down about it because, there's definitely the players that he's brought in have all got goals in them. And I think the emergence of young Dominic Calvert-Lewin as well, I think, has been a bonus for him, you know, because he's a big, tall lad. He's strong, he's pacey. He can probably act as a target man. He just seems to sort of play him down the centre now. I think he's been getting played a little bit out of position, wide right. There's no doubt, mate, we needed a target man, if I'm being honest. But I think hopefully that's something that he's going to try and address in January now.
We'll talk about Barkley in a moment or two. Let's have a chat with Jay. Morning, Jay.
Morning, boys.
Oh, you're right. Finally. Sorry about that. I'm having a few technical nightmares here. Ultimately, Jay, on the Liverpool front, were you a little bit disappointed come the close of the window?
Yeah, very disappointed, really, because, it's clear to see Liverpool's weak spot is the centre of defence. And, you know, obviously we wanted Virgil van Dijk and it's just not happened. It's just not materialised. And, you know, when we made the club statement to apologise to Southampton about the tapping up, you know, we basically had 2.5 months, didn't we, to try and identify a plan B option. And all the talk was that, no, we're going to go back in for Van Dijk, you know, late in the day and the deal will still happen. And he effectively went on strike, didn't he, to join Liverpool. And, you know, it's just not happened. And I don't know whether or not it's down to the fact that we were a little bit wary that, you know, the repercussions that might have came if we did try and sign him. But, you know, let's get real about it. You know, if Liverpool would have offered £70 million for Virgil van Dijk, that would have smashed the record for the defender. So, you know, it's not like we would have been ripping Southampton off, but I think, you know, the way we maybe went about our business earlier on in the summer, they didn't like it and they just didn't entertain a bid for him.
Well, I understand that, but it's business at the end of the day, isn't it? And I still can't quite see why Southampton didn't just say, look, apologise, which Liverpool did, and then a few weeks later, we'll revisit this because it's best for both parties. It doesn't really make too much sense.
Yeah, I mean, it is baffling, isn't it? And like I say, Liverpool never went for another option. There was other centre-halves out there that we could have went for and we just never did. And it's obvious that Klopp really likes Virgil van Dijk and that's who he wanted and he was priority. And it just hasn't materialised. And now we're going into this season, or till January at least, with, you know, effectively three centre-backs, maybe four if you include Joe Gomez, who has been doing quite well at right-back, hasn't he, to be fair? But you've got Matip, Lovren and Clavin, and it's just not enough because, you know, if you look at last season, Lucas Leiva played centre-half for us quite a bit, didn't he? And then, obviously, he's gone on to pastures new, he's gone to Lazio, so we're light in that area. I mean, you look at the other side of the transfer window where, you know, we signed Salah, yeah, it's great that we've got Naby Keita on board for next season, but he's not affecting this current crop of players now for this current season, is he? So, you know, you're looking at it thinking we are a little bit light still, and Oxlade-Chamberlain is a good sign, and there's no doubt about it. He's versatile. He can play, you know, right across that midfield area, can't he? And, you know, we're having the injury to Lallana, who's out for a few months, and obviously Coutinho's in a little bit of limbo. I'm sure once the window slams shut in Spain and he's still at the club, and obviously there's talk, isn't he, that, you know, he's going to stay and he'll be reintegrated into the side. It's still not ideal, though, is it? Because his head's not straight, so, you know, in this situation, it's not like Luis Suarez where he just didn't really care about anything else. He just got his head down and played on. I think Coutinho's a bit different to Suarez. So it's going to be interesting to see how it pans out. But, you know, I'm happy with Oxlade-Chamberlain sign, and it's just more about, you know, the defensive side of our team. It's a little bit short.
It's interesting. We're looking at January already, as Everton are, in a little bit of a way as well, maybe strike-wise, maybe Ross Barkley-wise, as to what happens with him. But were you convinced he was going to leave, Mickey, yesterday?
No, I wasn't. I don't think he was... I think there's definitely an issue between him and Ronald Koeman. I wasn't convinced that he was going to leave. I was actually shocked when Chelsea come in after, you know, it was like sort of with an hour to go. And then they sort of, you know, he went down to London and had his medical. I was actually quite shocked when I seen that. As to what's happened then after that, then God only knows. I've said from day one that his agent or whoever his agent is badly, badly advising him. And I think he's probably had a lot to do with this, because to turn around and say halfway through a medical that his head's not right and he's had a change of heart is, I think it's mental. It's ridiculous. Because obviously then we had Al-Mashiri come on the phone, didn't he, onto Sky Sports after a few gargles, I think, and was here and was telling Jim White, obviously, that that he thought the deal was done. We'd accepted a bid. Everton were happy. Chelsea was happy. And then for it all to sort of fall through halfway through a medical makes no sense. I think his agent's been in his ear. He's probably said to him, now they'll hang it out till January. You're going to get, obviously, much higher wages then if you know, because you're only going to have 6 months left on a contract. Everton will get a lower fee. You'll get more money. But what it's done in the meantime is left the lad in limbo. And I'm probably not very popular with a lot of Evertonians.
And maybe the likes of Chelsea or Tottenham will think, well, we don't need to buy him in January. We'll wait until he's a free agent in the next summer. It's unclear what's going to happen. Is there a chance he could play any football for Everton whatsoever?
I personally don't think so, Steve. No, I think there's too many bridges. I think have been burnt now. And as I say, I think this is... I don't think, without any disrespect, I don't think Ross Barkley's clever enough to make these decisions. I think he's left it down to his agent, and he should have had, you know, the kahunas himself to come out and make a decision. You know, the fans haven't heard from him as to, you know, what he wants to do. But I just get the feeling from the way that Mascheri was speaking last night on the telly that I think that's his lot, I think. And, you know, although he's going to be out, I think, till November with this injury, I just can't see that there's any way back for him unless he comes out publicly and says that he wants to stay at the club, signs a contract, then he's got a chance. But I don't think that's going to happen this far down the road. I think he's probably going to go with 6 months or go on a free.
Ultimately, Jay, what's going to happen with Thomas Lamar? Heavily linked yesterday, then all of a sudden linked to Arsenal, who jumped in with another £30 million on Liverpool's bid. Was this a bit of a smokescreen, or is Lamar a target that Liverpool will achieve by next summer?
Well, it came as a little bit of a surprise, didn't it? And a pleasant surprise, really, because I think he's a very good player, isn't he? And I think people were looking at it thinking, well, you know, Liverpool did say at the start of the summer, allegedly, we've got a lot of money to spend, £200 million. Some of the quotes were coming out. So people thought, yeah, maybe this is real. But what you've got to consider was we were always interested in Oxlade-Chamberlain as well, weren't we? So if we would have signed both of them, I think that would have been a little bit of an indicator that Coutinho would have been off. Because, you know, obviously Barcelona are said to be offering a large sum of money, aren't they, for them? You know, 130, 140, maybe even £150 million. So you would have thought, wouldn't you? Yeah, you know, if you can get Van Dijk, get Ox, and also get Lamar, then that's a lot of the money would have been the Coutinho money, to be honest. But, you know, I think it was probably a little bit of a smokescreen. There was talk coming out, wasn't he, that Lamar meant to fancy Liverpool over Arsenal. Again, not sure how true it is, but it seemed a lot of money, didn't it? £90 million. You know, the money in football now is absolutely ridiculous, isn't it? So, you know, I just could never see Liverpool paying that type of money unless it was due to the sale of Coutinho. So I think it might be something that's revisited maybe, you know, next summer, because I can't see Coutinho staying after this season. You know, we said all along, didn't we, maybe one more season and then he will get his move to Barcelona. So maybe it's something that we will revisit next summer for Lamar. But, you know, obviously Arsenal are interested as well, aren't they? And they're meant to have had a £90 million bid accepted. But, you know, it's all very confusing, isn't it, on deadline day? You don't really know what to believe, do you? But he's certainly a very good player. And obviously we're going to have to look for a replacement for Coutinho in the future.
And one thing was certain on deadline day, Philip Coutinho looks fit, doesn't he, Jay?
Yeah, I mean, it's obvious, isn't it, that back injury. I mean, you know as well as I do, if you've ever had a back injury, it's hard to decipher, isn't it, how conclusive it is unless you go for a scan and an x-ray and stuff. And I think, you know, his head wasn't right and he wasn't prepared to really, he wasn't really in the fold, was he? He wanted his move to Barcelona. He's been denied it. And obviously, you know, that was his way of getting around it, wasn't it? Saying, oh, I've got a bad back, this, that and the other. And he's obviously gone away with Brazil on international duty. He's been on the bench because he's not really been playing football. Came off the bench and scored. His back seemed all right to me. So let's hope now that, you know, when he comes back from his the international break, as the word that's been doing the round, he's reintegrated into the Liverpool setup, and then maybe we'll see him play again for us at the end of September. And yes, okay, you know, I know there's a lot of Liverpool fans who are not happy with him. I'm myself included. But you know, ultimately, if he's going to be here for another season, we've got to make use of him. And he's still a fantastic footballer. If he can knuckle down, get his head straight, you know, imagine him in that Liverpool team that destroyed Arsenal last weekend. You know, it's frightening, really, isn't it?
Mickey...
Just on that one, boys. You know, obviously, we were talking there about Virgil van Dijk before. And obviously, you know, saying that it is just business, even though Southampton didn't want to let him go, but the player wants to go and it is business. Isn't the Coutinho situation exactly the same, though? Because obviously, Liverpool don't want to let him go, but the lad has got his heart set on Barcelona. They've come in, they've made a good offer. Don't you think that they should have just let him go? Isn't that very, very similar to the Van Dijk situation?
Yeah, I mean, you know, it is very similar, isn't it? But I think the bigger surprise for me is when you look at Southampton, as a football club, I know there's loads of money in football now with the TV deals and what have you, but I'm surprised as a football club they could really refuse maybe a £70 million offer. Whereas Liverpool, a little bit different to Southampton in terms of we're a lot more wealthier club and also we're in the Champions League, so money's not much of a deal for Liverpool. I get the impression this situation with Coutinho was a personal thing between John Henry and Pep Segura. If you read today, I mean, I've just retweeted an article there that Simon Hughes has done for The Independent where he's saying about the setup where Pep Segura had lost his job at Liverpool and it's sort of like a personal vendetta thing. John Henry actually came out and this is what he's saying. This is sort of like a personal thing where he's saying there's no way that Coutinho is going to Barcelona. But I do think it'll happen next summer. But in terms of business sense, I mean, it was too late in the day, wasn't it? If this would have happened at the end of last season, we'd have had adequate time to replace Coutinho. But to come in with an offer right at the start of the new season, when we haven't got enough time to get a proper replacement in for Coutinho, to Liverpool, I mean, what were we going to do with the £130, £140 million?
Steve Hoddesall's kickoff. This is Radio City Talk.